Thank you. Shavuot Tov and Chodesh Tov. It's wonderful to be back indeed and to have this chut, the Chvod HaChsania here in Yeshiva University, to join so many Talmidot, such wonderful acquaintances, students, and friends in a morning of learning. We're going to begin as we begin the parsha of Vayetze, firstly noting that in fact this is one continuous parsha. For those who are familiar with the breakup of the Mesorah, we find Vayetze Yaakov, although a continuation of what we just concluded yesterday, at the end of Parshat Toldot, being sent away both by his mother for the sake of refuge and by his father Yitzchak for the sake of finding a wife, Yaakov is going to begin a new state of his journey. And therefore, very appropriate on Rosh Chodesh, that on one hand, just like Yaakov Avinu, we look forward towards the future. We certainly are going to have great anticipations for ourselves, for Am Yisrael this month, as Yaakov certainly has as he begins a new state of his life, his new journey to Haran. On the other hand, as we know, when we highlight the coming of Rosh Chodesh through Yom Kippur Katan, we begin every Rosh Chodesh by taking into account the last few weeks, the last few months, to ensure that this month will be a better one. So too we find by Yaakov Avinu, although he's leaving Be'er Sheva behind, although he's leaving his past behind, he is certainly carrying figurative baggage with him. And with this, we begin by appreciating the very first scene of the Parsha, where we find that not only is he leaving with some baggage, but the baggage is very much going to be part of him. We take a look at the first source. Vayetze Yaakov mi-Be'er Sheva vayelach harana. Vayitga b'makon vayelan sham kivah ha-shemesh. Vayikach ma'avnei ha-makon v'yaseh mi-rashotav. Vayishkav b'makom ha-hu. Already from the onset, we find that Yaakov is going to encounter with that interesting terminology of vayifga. He meets and takes from the stones of the place and places them under his head. Vayachalom v'inei sulam mutzav arza v'roshom magia ha-shamayma v'inei malachei Elohim olim v'yordim bo. V'hinei Adonai nitzav alav. Vayomer ani Adonai Elohei Avraham Avicha v'Elohei Yitzchak ha'aretz asher ata shochev alaha lecha etnena u'lezaracha. Hashem appears to Yaakov in the form of a chalom, ensuring him that Berchat Avraham, the famous promise of the land, is going to continue through Yaakov. But ironically, Yaakov is leaving that land. And therefore, Hashem has to assure him, V'ayazaracha kafa ha'aretz, ufaratzta yama v'kenma v'tzafona v'nedba, v'nivruchu v'cha kol mishpachot ha'dama uv'zaracha. In addition to Berchat Ha'aretz, Yaakov is also going to merit the bracha of Brit Milah, the bracha of the Am, of the nation that will come from him as well. And Pasuk Tetvav, V'hinei anochi imach, ushmarticha b'chol asher telech. He is told by Hashem, not to worry, it's true you're leaving the land now, but I will guard you. V'hashivoticha el ha'adama hazot, and I shall return you to this land, ki lo ezvaka ad asher imasiti et kol asher dibarti lach. And I assure you that my word will be fulfilled. At that point, Vayikatz Yaakov mishnato vayomer achen yesh Adonai b'makom hazeh va'anochi lo yadati. It's clear that Hashem is in this place. Vayira, but then he's instilled with fear. Vayomer man nora ha'makom hazeh ein zeh ki yin beit Elokim v'zeh shar ha'shamayim. Yaakov pronounces this area as Bavel, as the Sha'ar, the Bav of Elokim, recognizing that this is a place of the manifestation of the Shekhinah. And in response, Vayashkem Yaakov baboker, Vayikach et ha'even, asher sam mirashutav, Vayasim ota matseva, Vayitzok shemen arusha, Vayikra et shem ha'makom ahu beit el, V'ulam luz shem ha'ir larishona. And then Yaakov will accept a neder upon himself, recognizing the pasuk chafbet, Va'even hazot, asher samti matseva, Yie beit Elohim, V'chol asher titen li, Esor esrenu lach. And recognizing to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that in fulfillment of the guarding of the promises that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has professed upon Yaakov at this moment, Yaakov will return something to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, namely transform the Matseva, the monument that he hereby establishes in Beit El, he'll transform it to a Beit Elokim, to a house of worshiping of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But if you've been paying attention to the leading words, to the Milim Manchot, you've all noticed through the bolded and underlined terminology that there are certain words that repeat themselves. Perhaps the most obvious is, in fact, the Evan, the stone that Yaakov takes, or the stones that he takes from Beit El initially to place under his head, but then the stones that he also will take to provide as a matseva, to provide as that monument. But even more startling than the leading word of the Evan, than the stones that we find in the story, is in fact the terminology of Rosh. For the term head here, as it's referred to, refers firstly, Vayikach ma'abnei ha'makom v'yaseh mirash shotav. The initial terminology does not startle us at all. After all, Yaakov will take from the stones and he'll place them under his head, the head of a person. But as we continue through the story, we notice that the head is going to be used in different contexts as well. For if we continue and we look at the Sulam Mutzav Arza, the Rosho Magia Hashemaima, notice that the Torah doesn't refer to the top of the ladder as the Chelak HaElyon, but rather the Rosh, the head of Yaakov, parallel now to the head of the ladder. And in case this isn't a strange terminology and employment of the word head, we find it one more time in a Pasuk Yudzayin and Yudchet, when Yaakov wakes up, Vayeshkem Yaakov Baboker, Vayikachat Ha'Even Asher Sam Mirashotav. To remind you, it wasn't just a stone, but it was a stone that was placed under his head. He will transform that into a matseva. From the non-cushioning pillow that Yaakov experienced, he now will take the Evan, and it becomes a matseva, a monument, Vayitzok Shemen al Rosha. Again, that terminology of the head. He will anoint, he will place oil atop of the head of the rock. Now, generally, as we know, especially because the rock is all but more or less a flat or rounded, somewhat rounded surface, it doesn't really have a head versus a bottom, or a head versus any other part, and therefore, this should certainly raise eyebrows as we take a look at this terminology, the head of the rock. And clearly, as Rashi is going to connote in his Perush, as he quotes the famous Midrash, when Yaakov takes the rocks to place under his head, as it says back in Pasuk Yud, Yud Aleph, Vayikach ma'avnei ha'makom v'yaseh mirashotav, Rashi comments, Asa'an kemid marzev saviv l'rosho. What Yaakov is doing is basically placing some type of seed, some type of pipe, some type of protection around his head. And as Rashi continues, what is he afraid of? She'arei mitnei chayot ra'ot, because he's afraid of the wild animals. And if one analyzes this Rashi correctly, one recognizes that Yaakov seems to be behaving in a very odd manner. Because if, in fact, he's so afraid of the wild animals, what should he do? Then he should light a fire. Or, if not light a fire, if he has the stones around him, instead of just creating some type of protection against his head, he should be protecting his entire body. That's right. Again, it's not as if the animals are going to say, oh, his head is protected, so let's not bother him. Instead, we'll start with his toes, perhaps. And therefore, we have to wonder, again, what is going on? Rashi is hinting here to the fact that Yaakov is afraid, but really, where are all his anxieties? Where are his fears concentrated right now? They're all concentrated in his head. And he can't get head out of the picture. Everything is in his head. From the subconscious dream that he's going to experience, as the Rambam explains, that's really man's subconscious feeling. That's in his head. This is in his mind. Which, through appreciating the content then of the dream, we understand that what is going on in Yaakov's mind? There are a lot of stones. There are stones here and stones there. Yaakov is afraid of those stones. Yaakov appreciates all the obstacles that have already been in his way, and perhaps for the future as well, that are going to serve as a hindering his progress in the future. And therefore, in his halom, what does he hear? Not to worry. Ushmarticha b'chol asher telech. This is what Yaakov needs to hear in order to alleviate those anxieties, in order to somehow rid those rocks in his head, because he can't get rid of those rocks for now. They're everywhere, because he cannot escape that Rosh. And therefore, if we look at this section anew, we appreciate that when Yaakov takes of Nei HaMakom, he in fact is taking the stones, which represent those obstacles, represent those hindering objects and events along the way, placing them under his head. again as a metaphoric means of teaching us, the reader, that Yaakov has a lot of headaches in his mind right now, Vayishkad b'makom ahu, as he goes to sleep at night. And therefore it's not by chance that when he pictures a ladder, he pictures the revelation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, specifically V'rosho magia hashamayma, addressing the head of the ladder, which he understands is addressing what's going on in his head. And what's going on in his head? Oh no, I am now seeking refuge in a strange place. I am now running away for fear of death from my brother. And these are the accompanying thoughts in Yaakov Avinu's mind. The thoughts, therefore, that both in the form of a dream we find expressed, and all the more so, as the Rambam explains, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu appears to him the second time and explains, no, again, I really am going to protect you, Yaakov then is able, firstly, to take a matseva. He takes the evven asher sami rashotav, which Rashi continues to explain, was a miraculous stone that, as opposed to all the different stones who were fighting, merivot zo imzo, zot omeret alai, tzadik et rosho, v'zot omeret alai yamiyach, Miyana sa'an HaKadosh Baruch Hu Evan Achat. HaKadosh Baruch Hu took the many rocks that were fighting, that were vying for possession of Yaakov's head, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu instead transformed it into one rock. The Midrash beautifully explaining that although Yaakov has numerous thoughts that are going on in his mind right now, the Midrash trying to tell you that ultimately there's one thought. What is that one thought? What is that one very large rock inside Yaakov Avinu's mind? That's the fear of the future. That's his anxiety. What will be as I leave Eretz Kana'an now? Will I ever come back? Will HaKadosh Baruch Hu enable me in my own lifetime to see the materialization of the promises that he's hereby giving me? And for this reason, after Yaakov hears the calming of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he takes that Evan Asher Sami Rashotav, and if we look carefully at the content, he takes that stone, that one major fear, Vayasim Ota Matseva. He is going to create a diorama of the dream that he experienced. Notice the terminology, the Matseva parallel to the Sulam Mutzav Arza, Vayitzok Shemen Al Rosha. And just like Rosho Magia HaShamayma, now that Evan no longer represents an Evan that was under his head, an obstacle that he couldn't get rid of, rather now the Evan is going to turn into a monument, almost as if he's going to freeze his fears in time and explain, this Evan now, I anoint Shemen upon it. And I am so confident in the future that I am going to dedicate this monument one day as a cornerstone to the house of God. And to prove it, the very next terminology, again, that we find in the Pasuk, Vayisa Yaakov Raglav. And Rashi here explains as well, Libo Nasa et Raglav. Now, his heart is going to lead him. I'd expect his head to lead him, but not anymore. His head is now free of those rocks, free of those obstacles, and with Libo Yisa et Raglav, with a renewed sense of determination and optimism, Yaakov is going to spring forward. And with this, then, we see the next scene, in fact, will take place by a spring. But not just any spring, but a spring, as we know, a Be'er Basadeh, that is going to be covered with an Eben Gdola Alpi HaBe'er. And as we take a look, we find that as Yaakov is going to encounter this, the Ramban explains, why is it so significant for the Torah to take 12 psukim, and through the course of 12 psukim, to describe not just how Yaakov is going to meet Rachel by the Be'er, but Yaakov's enormous strength as he is going to be the successful one in removing the stone from atop of the spring. And the Ramban explains the importance as follows. Vayar v'inei Be'er basadeh, v'inei sham shlosha edrei tzon rotzim alaha. Says the Torah is going to tell you all the details. There are three flocks with their three respective shepherds waiting to draw forth water from this well that is now covered with a stone. Ya'arich ha-katub b'sipor hazeh. And we're all wondering, why do we need 12 psukim for this narrative? Lahodieni. In order, according to the Ramban, to teach all of us, Lahodienu, ki kovei Hashem yachlifu koach, based on Yeshayahu, to teach us that one who has faith in God is going to possess supernatural powers. He's going to be filled with a strength, with a super strength, It's his fear that will give him strength. The Ramban, a very contextual parshan, is very sensitive to the entire story. And he notes that now Yaakov, despite his anxieties of a few days ago, is now going to pick himself up and with a renewed strength come. Hine Yaakov Avinu ba min haderech v'hu ayeif. Yaakov came and he was very weary. Vayigal levado ha'even asher hayu tzrichim eilaha kol haro'im. And yet he was the one who was successful in exposing the be'er, wherein all the shepherds were waiting anxiously. In the meantime, all the shepherds are slowly gathering, and yet none of them can lift up this rock. But the Ramban understands, you know what? It can't just be about Yaakov's strength. It can't just be about the supernatural strength of those who believe in God. For that, we don't need 12 psukim. It would have sufficed to tell us how Yaakov is able to expose the stone atop of the be'er amidst the surrounding shepherds that are unable to even budge it. And yet, the Ramban continues by quoting the Midrash, Gam baze lahem sod remez la'atid. There must be greater significance here. It must be that the story is meant to tell us something for the future consistent with the Ramban's general approach of Kol Masha Ira La Avot Siman Labanim, that Yaakov is actually establishing a precedent for the future. And what is that? As a Chazal continue, She Kin is Damein Lo Kacha Shenachnas V'Derech HaBe'er V'Lo Ne'esfu Kol Adarim Rak Shlosha Mehem U'Ba Hazman She'Even Al Pi HaBe'er V'Adarim Shomrim La V'Chol Ha'Anyan HaMesupar Kan Lo Dio She'Yatzliach V'Derech HaZeh That really, there is a broader plan for the future. The plan of Yaakov succeeding and Yaakov's descendants succeeding in a place where all of his adversaries will be unable to do so. Notice how Chazal are not only teaching us that this story is about the future in general, but specifically Yaakov's descendants by a be'er. A be'er that definitely represents the continuity of life. A be'er that represents the wellspring of vitality. At this scene, we find that Yaakov will establish a precedent for his children. Ki ha-be'er yirmoz leveit ha-mikdash. He is trying to say, we are going to be the ones to build a temple to God. V'shlosha edrei tzon ole shlosha regalim. And we're going to surmount. We are going to go up. We are going to be able to overcome the three flocks that surround the be'er, that are unable to get to the be'er, that are unable to reach the Beit HaMikdash. And what are these three adrei tzon symbolic of? Shlosha regalim. The three times a year that we will literally be able to get up to that be'er. Ki min ha-be'er ha-hu yishku ha-darim shemisham hayu shoarim ruach ha-kodesh. And this is where one will receive divine inspiration. Oh, sheyirmoz ki mitzion tetze torah. Maybe the story is really meant to establish a precedent for the future of Yerushalayim, that all Mayim is like Torah, that Mayim will come from Yerushalayim, Shenim Shalal LeMayim, Udvar Hashem Yerushalayim V'Nasvu Shema Kol HaAdarim, and that's where shepherds and flocks are going to congregate. Ba'im Yilevu Chamat Ad Nachal Mitzrayim, to show you that even the non-Jewish flock, even the shepherds of other nations are going to come in order to be privy to this Ruach HaKodesh that will come from Yerushalayim. Shemisham hayu shoavim Ruach HaKodesh v'yishivu et ha'even munach l'regal haba. And the restoration or the return of the stone to the Be'er represents, okay, the Beit HaMikdash lay in waiting until the next time that there is an aliyah, until the next time that there is a congregation of the various members of the flock, those who are coming for Shloshet HaRegalim, waiting for the very next regal. However, despite the beautiful perush of the Ramban, we're still troubled, 12 psukim, either to express the strength of Yaakov, or even to establish a precedent for the future. And here then, perhaps if we are able to appreciate the significance of the scene by the well, maybe this will highlight the significance of Yaakov's scene by the Be'er. Sure enough, Robert Alter, as we know, in his introduction to biblical narrative, explains a phenomenon that has become very popular today in studying Tanakh, what's known as Cheker HaSugim, or type scenes. Take the microphone. Okay, we'll try this. Known as type scene, wherein, thank you, yes, much easier to walk this way. Wherein we find a type scene is a scene that's established in the Torah, and very often we'll find similar scenes that repeat themselves. Then one tell me perhaps the most popular type scene that we find in all of Tanakh, a story that seems to be repetitive. Oh, we've seen a story like this before. How about? Very nice, the Achotini story is beautiful that we saw for the third time yesterday in Parshat Toldot. Avram has two, no, she's my sister's stories, and Yitzchak has one. The point is clearly to express how one story is built off the other, meaning in dictating the Torah to Moshe Rabbeinu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is basically saying there's some consonance and dissonance. The story is supposed to resonate in our minds so that we will consciously compare the two stories, both to see how they're similar, but all the more so to appreciate their contrast, to appreciate the uniqueness of the story. Perhaps the most popular, though, is the barren woman story, the Akarot HaTanach. Again, each barren woman barren for very long, different attempts to somehow bring a child, either through a maid servant, through tzvilot, through nidarim, ultimately some type of generally revelation of God or man of God, and miraculous birth of a child. Another scene that repeats itself? Sorry? Very nice. Sibling rivalry, the endless stories of Tanakh. Yes, certainly a sacred Bereshit. Gena, where we find they're clearly both one off the other, and Hakdashot HaNevuah, the appointments of Nevi'im. But here we have another famous one. And that, as you know, are the scenes by the will. And I'm sure that you've all studied this before. And therefore, I'd like to just share with you and review two interesting perspectives. That of Robert Walter, who indeed explains, let's look carefully at the stories and appreciate how each one is built off of the next one. So, sure enough, Chazal, very sensitive to this as well. The source number 4, Vayeshev Be'eretz Midyan, Vayeshev Al HaBe'er, Kalat Derech Avot. This is a midrash in Sefer Shmot where we find that Moshe Rabbeinu is going to also find himself by a well, and how does that scene end? He marries Tzipporah. So Chazal say, you know, he's just really continuing the form that was established before him. This is a repetitive scene. Kalat Derech Avot, Shlosha Nizdavgu Lahem Zivugehem Min HaBe'er. Three people, three very important personae in Tanakh, meet their bashert by the be'er. Yitzchak, Yaakov, and Moshe, v'Yitzchak, v'Yitzchak ba, v'bo'o be'er l'chai ro'i. And we know certainly, v'o chenis b'agad rifka le'eliezer le'ma'ayan. And sure enough, again, they actually met, the Eved Abraham met Rifka by the ma'ayan, Yaakov, v'yura, v'hinei be'er basadeh, and Moshe, v'yeshev al ha'be'er. And one way of appreciating the parallels between each story is to recognize how one story literally is built off of the next story. For example, in Bereshit Perach Avdalim, we find that the whole purpose of going to the Be'er was firstly, again, to meet someone. Le'et Seit HaShoavot. The Eved of Abraham is sent in order to find a wife for Yitzchak, and therefore he knows what is the best social scene to attend. Again, when you have all the single women who are coming, after the shepherds have already retired towards the evening, they're going to come, the Eitzet HaShoavot, the domestic purpose now, the young women who will come to draw forth water for their households. And clearly then from the scene, we find that Rivka isn't the only one there. There are various Shoavot, but the Eved has asked Hashem for a sign. When he sees the benot on Sheha'ir, as he sees the village woman coming, that the first person he asks is going to ask her to provide drink, both for him and certainly for his camels, in order to test the attribute of chesed, and as we know, he's not disappointed. So we have scene number 1, going for the sake of finding a wife, and lo and behold, as Eved Abraham recognizes on his own, seeming, again, through the story, again, the story of Hashtachat Hashem, a cognizant recognition of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's involvement to ensure that he'll end up with the appropriate wife. The next story. Based on this, the Yaakov story, as soon as we hear him via Be'er, as soon as we see this terminology, and not only that, as Chazal said, it's the same Be'er in Haran, where Eved Abraham met Rivka. Here, we see that Yaakov, as we know based on the end of last week's Parsha, Yaakov isn't actually going immediately to find a wife. What was he told, both by his father and his mother? He was told, certainly by his mother, go to my brother to seek refuge from Esav. And even when he was told by his father to go find a wife, he was told, go find Laban, and that's where you'll find a wife. So what is Yaakov's intention as he goes to the Be'er? He's not going to find a wife. He's going to find Laban, who will both provide protection for him against Esav for now, in addition, perhaps, to, through him finding either his daughters or some other relative who will serve as his wives. And therefore, when we take a look, we find that Yaakov comes not during the evening time, when all the young maidens will be there. Rather, Yaakov is going to come in the middle of the day, or perhaps even early in the morning, when the shepherds are going to congregate in that zone, giving us the impression that he's trying to get to Laban's home. And yet, lo and behold, what happens through the scene? We already know. We have a shidduch scene from a parshat Chayei Sarah. And therefore, we're not surprised at all to find that in addition to finding refuge, what does Yaakov find by the Be'er? He also finds his wife. Trying to show that the Hashgachat Hashem from the previous story, in fact, continues. The dissonance, they didn't come for the same purpose. The Eved Abraham came for a wife, Yaakov came for refuge, and yet, in addition to refuge, because of the involvement of Hashem by the Be'er, he will find his wife as well. Echoed once again in the story of Moshe. Moshe, as we know, will also go. Again, sometime during the day, in Shmuel Perek Bet, Source 5 Gimel, the third case, sure enough, we see that when he goes, Vayeshev al ha-Be'er, he's going just like Yaakov for the sake of refuge. After all, Vayishma Paro et ha-Davar hazeh, Vayivakesh la-Harog et Moshe, Vayivrach Moshe mepnei Paro, Vayeshev Eretz Midyan, Vayeshev al ha-Be'er. Notice then, as Alter points out, the development of the stories. One goes for the sake of Hashgachat Hashem for finding a wife. The next goes in order for Hashem to protect him, and yet in addition to protection, he finds a wife. The third goes clearly for protection purposes, no wife in mind whatsoever. As a matter of fact, what is he going to do? He's just going to display what we found throughout the entire Perek in Shmos, namely his moral character. And yet, lo and behold, what ends up happening due to the story? Not only is he privy to protection, but also he's given a wife by Yitro, the father of the damsels in distress. Which only highlights, then, the fourth scene. And that, as we know, is the scene in Shmuel Aleph Perek Tes. The next time that the story builds off by the Midian, builds off by Shmuel himself, who knows stories, Aleph Bet and Gimel, he knows the Rivka, Yaakov, and Moshe stories very well. And therefore he knows that when you're looking at the story, when Shaul is going to seek out Shmuel in the evening time, what's going on in our mind? We know he's going in order to ask Shmuel where his lost donkeys are. However, the reader is already getting excited and perhaps even hears, O Yishama Ba'arei Yehuda, or they're really Harei Ephraim, that maybe there's a wedding coming up. Lo and behold, who does Shaul encounter there? He's going to find his donkeys. And therefore, we are so convinced that, in addition, he's also going to find, based on the first three stories, that he'll also find a wife. But instead, what does the prophet do? The Nabi twists the story a little, knowing what's going on in the backs of our minds, knowing that there are women here because it's evening time. Instead, we'll transform the story. Shaul doesn't find a wife. But what does he find? That's where Shmuel is going to come, and Hashem has already told him, Be'et machar eshlach elach ha'ish meretz b'yamin u'mishachto l'nagir alami Yisrael. This story is clearly built off of the other stories, but instead of finding a wife, he finds melucha. He finds his kingship. From here on in Tanakh, any time one finds a wellspring, what is it going to symbolize? The anointment or the continuity of a dynasty. From here on in, it symbolizes malchut. But note then how beautifully the stories are built off one of the other. Going for a shidduch, going for refuge, which turns to refuge and finding a wife. And story number three, again, seeking refuge, finding a wife, seeking some form of refuge, but despite the fact that there are women there, not finding a wife, but actually finding melucha. Rav Elchanan Tzemach offers a different explanation to these type scenes, and explains that if we look carefully at each one, one will also appreciate what's going on in the actual narrative. For example, back to the first example in Sefer Bereishit, he points out that this will establish a precedent for the relationship between Yitzchak and Rivka. And the basis for this, if you look at again page 2, is that the parallel between a well and a woman. And he explains that the Be'er is actually figurative to a woman. After all, throughout Tanakh we find, in Mishlei and Shir HaShirim in particular, the terminology of a spring, of a ma'ayan, being depictive of a woman, Shtei Mayim Yivorecha. One is told by the wise man in Mishlei, by Shlomo, to drink water from your own natural source of water, V'nozlim Mitocha Va'arecha. One should drink from one's own be'er, as opposed to going off to other be'erot. Don't take and don't start tasting water from other sources. Yafutzu maynotecha chutza barchavot palmi mayim yu lacha levadecha ve'im lezarim itach. And you should keep your own be'er for yourself. Who is this be'er? Yihi mekorcha baruch. May your own source of water be blessed. Usmach me'eshet ne'urecha. And be happy with the woman of your youth. Telling us that the woman of your youth is your be'er, is your fountain of youth. That the woman herself is going to, as we see, serve symbolically through the be'er, representing fresh love, representing obviously the source of life, depicted in Shir HaShirim, Perek Dalet as well. Gan ma'u lachunti kala, explains the Dod to the Ra'aya. You are a locked up garden. Gal na'u, a wave that's locked up. Ma'ayan chatum. You have so much beauty within you, and yet you are a sealed up spring. But really, you're a ma'ayan ganim. Be'er mayim chayim nozlim min Lebanon. But you should open up and allow that life to spring forth from you. From here, perhaps all of the scenes, again, both Eved Abraham, certainly Yaakov, and even Moshe, are really all about the interaction with their be'er, with their woman, with the Isha in the scene. With this now, we take a look back at the Eved Abraham scene, where we find that what is the relationship with the Be'er? The relationship with the Be'er is very similar to the relationship that Yitzchak is going to have with Rivka. Namely, we look at Bereishit Perek Chavdalid, and we find, certainly in the scene, Rivka's the active one. Rivka's the one demonstrating chesed. And what is the Eved Abraham's reaction in Pasuk Chaf Aleph? Va'ish mishaela machamish. The Eved is not active at all. He's going to stand or sit by the sidelines, amazed and shocked by the interaction, and certainly the hashgachat Hashem that's evident. But at the same time, I don't know about you, but this always bothered me a little. Poor little Rivka is going back and forth, and the Eved is just sitting there, startled. Again, not open mouth right now, but nonetheless, is just sitting there. Which, if we think about it, especially from the end of the story, where we find that Yitzchak is coming from the Be'er L'chayroi, but what does it say about him there? Vayetze Yitzchak, lasuach basadeh. Yitzchak is really, again, grazing, believe it or not, by the fields. He's very passive. Rivka is going to be the one who is active. Certainly, she's going to be the stronger persona in the stories that ensue in Parshat Toldot. And certainly, one can even argue that as Yitzchak comes from his be'er and she covers her face, perhaps depicting, as the Nitziv explains, that there really is some fear and distance from the very onset. With this then, we turn to the Yaakov story. By the Yaakov story, we know that not only is there a be'er that he's going to encounter, perhaps symbolic of not just meeting Rachel, but his future relationship with his be'er, namely Rachel, but we find, if we look at the psukim on the top of page 3, as it says here, Gena pasuk bet vayar v'hinei be'er basadeh v'hinei sham shlosha v'etzon rovtzim alaha ki min ha-be'er ha-hu yashku ha-darim va'eden gdola al pi ha-be'er. From the very onset, the 7 times that the be'er is going to be mentioned in these psukim, making this a very perfect milah mancha, the Be'er is going to be transformed to a character in and of itself. But it's not just any Be'er. 3 out of the 7 times that the Be'er is mentioned, it's mentioned as a Be'er with an Eved. There's a rock on this Be'er. telling us that his relationship here is not going to be so smooth. And sure enough, perhaps this is coming to depict not only the 6 years of hard work for Rachel, and not only thereafter, having Rachel switch with Leah, but perhaps even the barrenness of Rachel that will constantly place a rock, place a burden, place a strain on the relationship. And if we continue then to the story of Moshe, even his interaction with the damsels in distress by his Be'er will depict more or less his relationship with his wife Zipporah as well. Note that when he meets Zipporah, then she's not singled out amongst the 7 daughters of Yitro. Rather, they are all being harassed by the shepherds, and Moshe's response is really not one like Yaakov's to impress the girl, but rather out of a moral sense of fortitude. Again, he must do the right thing. Moshe, with his ethical backbone, is going to be proactive in the scene, and this is going to set the standard for his relationship in the future as well. We find that Zipporah is given as one of the daughters of Yitro. He never really is going to establish a very strong dynamic. Rather, whenever we see Zipporah appearing, it's really coming to enhance all the more Moshe's function as a messenger of God and one who is going to be acting based on moral scruples. Back to the story of Yaakov. We know then that although he left his stones under his head in Beit El, he comes to Haran, convinced that now his stones, all of those obstacles, he can overcome them because HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave him an eder. Hashem said not to worry. Ushmarticha baderech. And lo and behold, he comes to Haran, and what's the first thing that he sees? His nightmare. He sees a stone. He doesn't just see the air. He doesn't just see the potential of the life that comes. And he doesn't just see Rachel Imenu. He sees the air with a stone. He sees the Eved that is blocking that the air. But now with a renewed sense of optimism based on his Chalom in Beit El, with the promise of God resounding in his ears, what does Yaakov do? He's able, Vayigal et ha'Eved. Pasuk Yud, Vayigash Yaakov, Vayigal et ha'Eved me'alpia be'er. Vayashketzon lavan achi imo. Vayishak Yaakov l'Rachel, Vayisa et kolo vayeh. A pasuk that should bother all of us. Not only because we're familiar with the famous Rashi, that he cries because amidst this very romantic moment, he's already able to see that Rachel is going to die at an early stage and she won't be buried with him. But even here we find this is odd. At this moment of a great strength of Yaakov, at this moment of the kiss, of this beautiful romance, Yaakov cries. And perhaps if we're more sensitive to the text, then we appreciate why Yaakov is crying. Yaakov was crying because he thought that he left the Avadim behind him. Because he thought that everything that bothered him way back in Eretz Kanaan, the fact that his brother is pursuing him, the fact that he's leaving Eretz Kanaan, when he came to Beit El with all those rocks under his head, he thought he surmounted them with his matzevah that he lifted to God. But now he realizes, oh no, those stones are following me. They're following me even in those moments of springs. Even when I find a be'er, even when I find a woman, even when I sense Hashkachat Hashem, he already knows that there are going to be obstacles bothering him along the way. And therefore, together with the Nishikah, there's going to be the Chiyah. The kiss, the future that awaits him, he knows, is going to be fraught with stones along the way that are going to be accompanied by numerous tears as well. And therefore, if we look carefully at these psukim in source number 8, we find that it's not by chance that the Torah will play off on the play on words of Vayash Ketzon Lavan Achi Imo, at the same moment that he will provide water for the flock of Lavan, Vayishak Yaakov. He then will kiss Rachel. This play on words hints that the watering and the kiss are certainly related, as Radak explains, Kevan shera'ata sha'asa kol ze ba'avura, for when Rachel saw that it was through Yaakov looking at her that enabled him, that provided him with the strength to expose the stone, kibla nishikato, then she was willing to accept the kiss. Or in other words, the removal of the stone made not only the watering of the sheep possible, but ultimately the kiss possible as well. Note then that the stone certainly represents the trials and tribulations of Yaakov Avinu, those that he will have to endure throughout his relationship with Rachel, through the various stages of the Be'er. Anna, as we see in source 10, Lama Bacha, Shera'a She'ina Nechnasa, Imo L'Kura. Yaakov already knew that as much as this Be'er represents life, if there is a stone under the air, and certainly by the end of the scene, after his kiss with Rachel, the stone, we're told, is going to be replaced on top of the Be'er. The same Be'er that the shepherds are going to ensure that no one steals their water resources, to prevent the abuse of the water, of the life that it can provide, Yaakov then sees that the stone is going to be returned to the top of the Be'er, not allowing people to enjoy that life. Yaakov already understands that his Be'er is going to be somewhat short-lived. He understands that his Be'er is still fraught with stones. And with this, we continue and see that in addition to stones in Yaakov's life, again, these stones that for him represent his fears, his anxieties, and his obstacles. In the first scene, we found that the scene ends quite optimistically. You can take the stone, Yaakov. The stones that were transformed into one stone, and Yaakov will change it. It's not going to be a stone of obstacles. I'm going to leave my fears behind me and change it to a foundation stone for the future. I'm going to transform my stones into a matzevat HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And with this, he runs to Haran. And lo and behold, though, when he gets to Haran, he sees his will. He sees Rachel. But he sees his will with the stone. And I'd like to propose that this stone changes Yaakov's perception. Yaakov understands that he's able to overcome obstacles, but they're always going to be there. And perhaps Yaakov is a little disheartened at this moment, recognizing that the obstacles that stand in his way, again, although he can overcome them, they're going to perhaps allow him to think that maybe HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not looking out for him as he thought after the first scene of the stone. He recognizes, I can't get away from these stones. So maybe, despite the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, U'shmarticha baderech, maybe HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not going to help me with each of these hardships. And sure enough, if we follow the story of Yaakov and Haran, we find that there are hardships. Yaakov worked for 6 years for Rachel and is then switched with Leah. He works another 6 years for Rachel and throughout this time, the tensions of Rachel being barren with that stone on her Be'er, in her Ma'ayan. Anna, together with this, then Yaakov, at the end, at the end of 14 years, Yaakov says, okay, time to go home, but I want a basic salary. And from the onset, he knows that Lavan is going to trick him. Throughout all these stories, we find that Yaakov does not once turn to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Yaakov does not once mention Shem Hashem. Yaakov stays in Kitzlaeretz for 20 years without once turning to HaKadosh Baruch Hu until Bereishit Perek Lamed. He calls his wives to the field after he has a discussion with Laban, and Laban finally tells him, Ma etein lecha vayomer Yaakov, lo titen li mu'uma. I don't want anything from you. Im taseh li hadavar hazeh, ashuv eretz oncha eshmor. Now I finally want a salary. Yaakov is going to ask for all the hybrids in Laban's flock. And he uses the terminology over and over within the story of Ganuv. I'm really borrowing something from you, but there's a lot of surreptitious character going on here. There's a lot of circumventive behavior, both on Laban and on Yaakov's part. And as we know, how is Yaakov going to transform these hybrids into dominant, homogeneous flock? According to the Torah, Yaakov takes Pasuk Lamedzayin, Vayikach lo Yaakov makel libne lach veluz va'armon, spotted and speckled sticks, which we know, looking at these terms, armon and luz, these are also connotations for deception, source number 11. And we find, Vayikatzel bahim salok levalos, machsof halavan asher al hamaklot. And he places these sticks, asher katzel barmitim, v'shkatzel tamayim, asher tavon ha'atzon l'shtot l'nocha chatzon, v'yachamna v'von l'shtot, And as the flock look at these maklot, look at these speckled and striped sticks, then during their mating season, lo and behold, v'teiladna hatzon akudim nukudim ukluim. He has the dominant homogeneous and the perfect akudim nukudim ukluim, the stronger of the flock that came out of the weaker hybrids that he had taken slash borrowed from Laban. And one can look at this, and numerous botanists and geneticists indeed have done, in order to try to figure out Yaakov's knowledge, certainly of the genetic engineering that has taken place here within the flock. But the Torah tells us, based on Perek Lamed Aleph Pasuk Yud, the Torah explains that Yaakov understood this differently. For the past 20 years, Yaakov has not necessarily been surmounting the obstacles as much as dealing with the obstacles, trying to learn how to deal with the mischievous Laban, but ultimately never once turning to HaKadosh Baruch Hu because he's been disheartened by that stone on the Be'er. But at the same time, Hena, as soon as Rachel gives birth to Yosef, as soon as Rachel's Ma'ayan is opened, the Torah tells us that Rachel finally calls out Yosef Hashem liben acher. Yosef is the manifestation of Rachel's recognition of Hashem in her life. And as soon as the Torah tells us that, that's when Yaakov decides, time to go home. If the Be'er can be opened, if even but for a short amount of time, if the stone can be exposed, even if he knows that it will return to the opening of the well, that he knows that HaKadosh Baruch Hu in fact is looking out. And the proof is in source number 12. When Yaakov tells his wives then of his success with the flock and how in fact he's been able to engineer the enormous success of the dominant flock, Vayomer Elai Malach Elokim B'chalom, Yaakov Vayomer Hineni. Yaakov says, do you know how I knew this? Because a malach came to me, and he's the one who told me, Sana inacho re'e kol adudim ha'olim alaton akudim nekudim uvudim, ki ra'iti et kol asher lavam osalach. Anochi ha'el beit el, asher mashachta sham matzivam. The Torah doesn't say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Yaakov, make sure that you remember the matzila. The Torah tells us that Hashem tells Yaakov, time to go back home. Time to fulfill your promise. But Yaakov remembers the matzila. Yaakov remembers that there is a way of surmounting the stones. Yaakov remembers that he took his stones, that he took his apprehensions and anxieties, and he overcame them by transforming them to a matzila with the encouragement of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And despite the fact that he was disheartened when he saw the stone under the air, he knows that the stone can be lifted, and not just can be lifted, but one is supposed to recognize that the source of the strength of lifting those stones comes from the matzibah, comes from dedicating it to Hashem, comes from recognizing Hashem in his life, something that he hasn't thought about, as his life has not been working out so well for the past 20 years, but now he realizes, both from Rachel, the birth of Yosef, stones can be removed from a ma'ayan, I am going to remember my matzeva. And he tells his wives, I have to go back to that matzeva. Asher nadarta lisham neder. Ata, kum, tzei min ha'aretz hazot, v'shuv al eretz moladetacha. Again, this, according to Pshat, is Yaakov's words. Yaakov's interpretation of what he's forgotten. I forgot that I can transform an eved into a matzeva. I forgot that I can overcome the stones. Certainly with the help of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's why, perhaps, the Ktav HaKabbalah, Rav Yaakov Zvi Mecklenburg from Lista in Germany, explains, Yada HaKadosh Baruch Hu Salomes Kedei Shelo Yirame Oto Laban. Don't think that through the animals looking at Yaakov's speckled and spotted staffs, don't think that this is what brought about the spotted and speckled flock. And it doesn't work that way. Rather, Yaakov was using it also to deceive Laban. Because Laban will look and say, this is how Yaakov is succeeding. Kamo shekatov, Elohei Avi haya imadi, ve'amar lulei Elohei Avi upachad Yitzchak hayali. But rather, Yaakov understands that if he puts those staffs there, those sticks represent Hashem helping him. Hashem working beyond nature, naturally looking at staffs, will not help the genetics too much, but rather shows that one is placing dependence on Hashem. V'achar sh'ra'a k'min ha'shamayim ozru, oto itzik ha'maklot ahim, k'day sh'itkayem ha'nes ayidei ma'aser tzvi. Yaakov then took the sticks. He took the staffs to show that Hashem is in my life, that I understand that this apparently natural, or we can say demographic growth of his flock, he's attributing it to something that's unnatural, attributing it so back to HaKadosh Baruch. But the greatest proof is in the end of Parsha Chayetze, the end of the Parsha, which is also the end of the very long Parsha, the beautiful chiastic structure within Parsha Chayetze that ends the same way that it began. It ends with a night scene of fleeing, this time from Lavan to Esav. It ends with another halal, this time experienced by Lavan. It ends with another encounter with Malachim and a renaming of a place, this time Malachim and Machanayim. And yet, there's a change. We take a look and we find that when Lavan pursues Yaakov, ultimately, they're going to meet by Har Gilad. And Lavan is going to accuse Yaakov of stealing then his own daughters, his grandchildren from him. And Yaakov, though, this time with confidence, explains in Parak Lamed Aleph, Pasuk Lamed Vav, Vayichar Yaakov. For the first time since Rachel opposed him as well, Yaakov gets angry, Vayarev B'Lavan, and finally stands up for himself. And he says, Ma Peshi, Ma Chatati Kidalamta Harai. What was my iniquity? What did I do wrong? That you're going around now, feeling in all my tents, and you haven't found anything. Pasuk lametet, trefa lo hebeti elacham, anochi achatena, miyadi tzvakshena, gunafti yom, gunafti laila. I haven't taken anything from you. No rechilim, then no tzon, nothing from myself. Pasuk mem alef, zeli esrim shana beveitecha vadaticha. I've worked for you for 20 years. Arbaas v'shana, b'shvei b'notecha. I deserve these two wives. I've worked for them. Sheishanim b'tonecha, v'tachleif et maskarati aseret minim. And you continuously change what was supposed to be my salary. Lule Elokei Abraham upachad Yitzchak hayavi. Anna, for the first time since the very beginning of Parshat Vayetze, Yaakov is going to quote now, Elokei Abraham, Elokei Yitzchak, there are, he's on my side. Hashem has sent me, ki ata rekam shilachtani, you have sent me empty-handed, but ultimately, the same God who's been with me all along rebuked you last night. And Laban, in fact, says, okay, you can keep it all. Pasuk mandalin, vata lecha v'nechreta brit. Yaakov has the same confidence that he had at the beginning of Vayetze, but I'd like to show that, in fact, it's a transformed confidence. Yaakov takes the power of the matzeva. He understands that one can take a stone, and instead of viewing it as an obstacle, he can instead use it as a means of surmounting and recognizing HaKadosh Baruch Hu's involvement in his life. That's what the sticks were for. He understands that I can undergo something that appears to be natural, but ultimately recognize that it's an expression of Hashem. And with this then we find that the sticks and the stones and the springs in Yaakov's life are all metaphors for Yaakov's appreciation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's intervention. That Yaakov ultimately should have looked at the stones as he did at the beginning of Parshat Vayetze, as stones that are really taken care of by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That when Hashem comes, like a stone, like that matzeva, sulam mutzav arza v'roshom magiyah ha'shamayma, that Yaakov's fears in his head can be transformed to the head of a stone that's dedicated to God. And now finally, Yaakov. When Laban proposes a brit, let's look carefully at Yaakov's response. Pasuk Mepei. Vayikach Yaakov eben vayirimeha matzeva. For the first time, Yaakov is going to bend down, take an eben, and lift it up as a matzeva. And this symbol of Yaakov's is not an expression of his covenants with Laban, as we're about to prove from the ensuing psukim, but rather Yaakov remembering, I can take a rock, I can take a stone, I can take obstacles, whether they're in the form of my anxieties based on Esav, or whether it's my trouble with Rachel, or whether now, Laban, it's an obstacle in our relationship, and whether or not I can ever get away from you and your control over my wives and children and flock. And ultimately, what does Yaakov do? He takes the stone. This is his way of saying, I'm going to surmount it all. Through what? Through remembering his matzeva l'Hashem. Through dedicating his life to God. This is what's going to give Yaakov Avinu the power to surmount all his obstacles, to enable him to succeed against all his foes. Vayomer Yaakov le'achav l'ktu avanim, v'yikhu avanim v'yasu gal, v'yikhlu shem al hagav. So notice that there are two rocks over here. There are the rocks that are going to be amassed in a pile of stones that ultimately is going to serve as the basis for the barbecue that now Yaakov and Lavan are going to share. Vayikra lo Lavan yigar sahaduta. Lavan calls the pile of stones, this is my testimony, Yaakov karalo gal'ed. Yaakov will call the pile of stones that serves as a symbol of a covenant, of the breach between himself and Lavan. This is a testimony between us. But notice, it's a pile of stones between us. Yaakov recognizes that there will always be a separation. Yaakov recognizes that there will always be, literally, a pile of stones, obstacles lying in the relationship between him and Lavan. But at the same time that Lavan says, Hagal hazot eveinu uveinacha hayom al kein kara shemo gal'ed, in Gilad, the pile of stones will be called gal'ed, the pile that serves as testimony. Don't forget the matzeva. The matzeva is l'Hashem. Almost as if Yaakov telling Lavan, okay, yes, we're going to make a pile. Again, there are a lot of stones between us, don't worry. But in the meantime, Yaakov lists his matzeva to Hashem. In the meantime, I recognize HaKadosh Baruch Hu's involvement in my life. In the meantime, I recognize that I can surmount stones. I'm reminded now through my experiences in Beit El that I can take the stones in my head and under my head, and I can dedicate them to God. Then I can overcome those obstacles, that I can take stones off the erodes, even if they're going to continuously come back on top of the be'er. And then I'll take them off again, and I'll dedicate them to God. And perhaps the greatest proof is to recognize at this time, it's not just an ephemeral recognition of Yaakov Avinu, but rather a long-lasting one. Yaakov is not afraid of any rocks in his life anymore. He's not afraid of any obstacles of which we know in the ensuing parshiyot there are many to come. And therefore, even after the rape of Dinah in Parshat Vayishlach, if we look at Perek Lamed Hey, Hashem comes to Yaakov, Od, v'va'ol mi Padan Aram. And the Torah wants to tell you this is after his sojourn in Padan Aram, that Yaakov's journeys have yet to continue right now. And in Yaakov's journeys from Padan Aram, with all of his rocks and those stories, v'yivarech oto v'yomar lo Elokim, Shimcha Yaakov, lo yikare Shimcha od Yaakov, ki im Yisrael yeshimcha. Yisrael, you know, ki sarita im Elokim batuchal, because you can encounter Anashim and God, and you can surmount Yaakov. You can overcome. You have shown that you take those rocks, and in fact, you do surmount. V'yomar lo Elokim, ani kol shakai, pray urvei, goy ukahal goyim yiyem imach, umlachim michalatzacha yetzimu. Know that he repeats then the promise that he originally gave Yaakov in Beit El. I hereby guarantee, now that you're back in Eretz Canaan, this is the land that you're going to inherit as well. How does Yaakov respond to this? V'yal ma'alav elokim v'makom asher diber oto v'yatev Yaakov matzeva v'makom asher diber oto matzevet eden. Yaakov renews the original matzeva that he had sanctified to God in Beit El. And if we turn back to the very beginning, to the first source, we find that when Hashem does come to Yaakov, Hashem came and gave him three different components to the nedir. Number one, he told him, Ushmarticha b'chol asher telech. He told him that he will protect him, that he doesn't have to worry about Esav. But he also told him that he's going to be given this land. And as we mentioned, he's also going to give him the brit, he's also going to give him the promise of children. And in each of these areas, Yaakov encountered obstacle after obstacle. After escaping from Esav, he encounters Lavan. And after finally getting married, he has a problem with the Zera. Anna certainly stayed 20 years away from Eretz Canaan. We can only imagine the doubts that have arisen in Yaakov Avinu's mind. Am I ever going to return home? Yaakov's first matzeva He now is leaving Laban, and he recognizes, as Laban has divulged the tochacha, the rebuke of God the night before, Yaakov realizes, was Hashem with me all along? Ushmartikha baderech? Has Hashem protected me? Is Hashem saving me from my foes? Vayirmeha eved matzeva. Yaakov realizes that he can surmount with the help of Hashem, and he's going to be protected from his enemies. Secondly, he comes back, as we just read, from Padan Aram, and Hashem tells him, Ve'et ha'aretz asher natati l'Abraham l'Yitzchak l'Yaakov. This land, you made it back, Yaakov, and not only that, but this is the land that you will inherit. Vayatzev Yaakov matzeva, v'makom asher diber yito matzevet eved, v'yaseh ala ha'nesach v'yitok ala ha'shemen. He takes that shemen, and he renews, he restores the symbol of surmounting his anxieties and his fears. He's going to receive the land. And lastly, and most tragically, Pasuk Yudzayin, Vayhi bat shelta v'litata, as Rachel is going to be in the middle of giving birth, she is going to die, Vayhi b'tzik nafshan ki metan v'tefreshmo benoni, v'avir karalo benyami. Yaakov recognizes that together with the tragedy, with the obstacle over the be'er, with the stones in his life, he recognizes that he also has to look at overcoming the stones. And although the scene certainly provides for that stone on the be'er, Yaakov recognizes, but at the same time, Hashem has fulfilled the promise of Zaracha Kafar Haaretz, and he renames the child of oppression, that rock of despair, he renames him Benyamin, the child of my strength. And to prove this, Pasuk Chav, at the same time of the death of Rachel, which we noted certainly symbolizes a tremendous eved over the be'er of Yaakov, Vayatzev Yaakov matzeva al kvurata, ki matzevet kvurat Rachel. What does Yaakov do as well? He takes the stone once again, and he lifts it, this time lifting it upon the grave of Rachel ha'aderech, but recognizing that Hashem has once again intervened in his life, giving him the strength to transform Ben Oni to Ben Yami. The hope is that if we look indeed at Maaseh Avot, if we look at the sojourn of Yaakov Avinu, and not just his literal journey, but his transformation of self, from one who can look at stones and anxieties and fears and obstacles, and allow them at time to hinder his progression and recognition of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Yaakov was able to surmount those fears, those obstacles as well. He's able to take those avanim, lift them from the be'er, and over again, take those stones and transform them to matzevot of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The hope is that this week and this month will give us all the strength as we look at these parshiyot, to look at our obstacles as opportunities as well, and ensure that with the pile of rocks that seems to constantly be before us, that we recognize matzeva l'Hashem, that we lift up some of those stones, and we dedicate them with a renewed perspective to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Chodesh Tov.